Let's call this meeting to order. We got a quorum. Representative Pawlowski, welcome to our committee. I don't know if I've had you before the committee.
Before we
since Trimble was here, have we?
Mr. Chair, I don't think so.
Can I move the minutes, Mr. Chair? If we have
We got some minutes.
Yes, we do.
Representative Mahoney would move the minutes of
February 11th. Okay, 11th.
Okay, all in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Representative Linder, would you move the minutes of February 12th?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay, all in favor of approving the minutes for February 12th signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And with that, like I said, Representative Pawlowski, welcome to the committee. I think Representative Dorn said that he would love to move your bill. And something about that he would be in great jeopardy if he didn't.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. And I could go into specifics, but it would be inappropriate at this time.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I just want to watch something other than the Golf Channel once in a while.
Well,
so move the bill, Mr. Chair.
Very well.
Representative Mr. Chair, go ahead. House File 1889 comes at the request of the City of Winona, and I have two people here, Judy Bodway, who is our Economic Development Authority Director, and Mark Hulk. I'd like them to come up. Ms. Bodway has to go over to the Senate on another tax bill in about an hour, and then they both have to get back to Winona. So, Mr. Chair, could I have them come up? There's a small packet like this that you should have that they want to walk through what House File 1889 does.
Very well. Welcome to committee. Please give your name for the record before you testify.
My name is Mark Hauck.
Right here. Okay. My name is Judy Bodway, and I'm the Director of Economic Development for the City of Winona.
Very well. We're going to go ahead and proceed.
Brief history of the Great River Shakespeare Festival. The festival is being started by three directors, myself, Paul Barnes, who was the former education director at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival before becoming the conservatory director at PCPA Theater Fest in California. He's now a well-respected freelance director working at all the major Shakespeare festivals around the country. And then Alec Wild, who is a graduate of the Yale School of Drama and is a freelance director working again across the country. We spent 24 months examining cities in Minnesota before selecting Winona as the site of the festival, and we selected Winona because of its potential for becoming a major regional tourism destination, reaching from Chicago to Omaha, Nebraska, and up into the Twin Cities. The purpose of this bill is to help us do the planning right for building the festival in Winona to create the greatest economic impact in the region. The festival will actually begin this summer. We've raised $700,000 of our $1.1 million goal for the first 3 years of operations. All of this has been raised from private sources. There have been no major foundations or government agencies involved. The pamphlet that you see that says Dream on the front of it, the story behind that pamphlet is that the Chamber of Commerce in Winona selected the festival as the theme for their annual banquet this year. This was produced for that conference, and the Chamber has been deeply involved in promoting the festival in the business community in Winona because they see it as having both direct and indirect impact on the economics of the city, both in terms of developing tourism, but also in terms of creating a city, a small city in southern Minnesota that has the kind of cultural draw that will help build jobs in other industries, for example, with the hospital, helping attract better professors at the universities, and helping with other industries that are looking to recruit middle management.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, the City of Winona is excited about the possibilities of the increase in tourism and becoming a Midwest attraction for this festival. I think the important part is the private sector has gone out, raised the funds, and the festival actually starts this year, and we encourage all of you, if you have the ability to come and attend the festival. It's going to be going on for 3 years. It's a perfect time for the city and the state to partner together to assess the future of this festival. And we're hoping that we can make this into a yearly festival that brings in over 60,000 tourists a year into the Winona area. Most of those from out of state is what we're hoping for. Wow. And so we're looking for some pre-design money to be matched with the city of Winona. We'll come up with the matching funds to do an assessment of this festival as it's going on and its future for the Winona and the state of Minnesota.
Sounds like an exciting project. Any questions from the membership? Winona is a very, very good tourist attraction. It's a gem. I know I've been there three times, and every time I can't believe all the wonderful things you have to do for tourism. And just out of curiosity, what do you think of the Department of Tourism's initiative, as long as I got you here?
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm not prepared to
discuss
that.
Well, they're thinking about going on their own instead of being part of DEED. And they think they can leverage more money from the private sector to do the things that they want to promote, the things they want to promote. You haven't really been familiar with the proposal yet?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah. I know somebody that authored the bill.
Is that the bill I'm carrying?
Yeah.
That's up today. I suppose I should read it.
That'd be a good idea.
Okay.
But anyway, thank you very much. Seems to be no questions. You got anything you want to add? Well, we plan on doing exactly that. We'll lay over House File 1889 for possible inclusion in our jobs finance bonding bill. So thank you very much for telling us about this wonderful proposal.
Thank you very
much.
I
have a daughter that's an opera major, so I can't go to
perfect.
These kind of things.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary, here. We'll do Phelan. I could probably do Phelan's proposal myself. I've heard it a lot.
I thought about that, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome to your committee, Representative Mahoney. I sent somebody to get Mac. Since I where's Phelan doing? There he is. It's a number it's one I'm trying to get in. Since I co-authored it, I'll move House File 2047 for possible inclusion in our bonding bill. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would ask that I would like to offer the delete all amendment A040877, which puts 2047 in the language that I really need it to make this an effective bill.
You're going to move that?
Yes, I would, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Representative Mahoney moves amendment A040877. All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. The bill's the way you want it now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. As this is a bill that's been heard in this committee a few times in the past few years. We're at that stage. We almost had it finished last year, but somebody switched some numbers around at the last minute in the last hour of session. And unfortunately, I have to come back to explain it one more time to you all. Many of you have been here for the presentations in the past. Phelan Corridor is a major economic development on the east side of St. Paul, connecting I-35E to Maryland Avenue. It is, 2.3 miles?
Mm-hmm.
2.3 miles long. It has the potential to, it has created 1,000 jobs already. It has the potential by the end of this year to create another 1,000 jobs, and has the potential for a few more jobs before it's all done. This money allows us to purchase, remediate, and get ready to start laying the asphalt from Arcade to Maryland, or to Johnson Parkway. which is the last stretch to be completed. It is for $4 million, and I'm going to turn this presentation over to Kurt Milburn, the Executive Director of the Kalen Corridor and the FABA. And he has done an admirable job. He's done a great job on making this project come to life and worked very hard on it. As I will give this caveat to him that most members here have seen this before, so I would give the short version rather than the long version.
Very well. Welcome to our committee, Kurt. Will you give your name for the record?
My name is Kurt Milburn. I'm the project director of the Phelan Corridor Initiative and the executive director of the Eastside Area Business Association.
Just out of curiosity, Kurt, how much has the state invested in the Phelan Corridor in various ways so far?
Paul St. Martin from St. Paul Public Works is here, and he can answer that question probably better than I.
Paul, give your name for the record.
Sure. My name is Paul St. Martin. I'm with City of St. Paul Department of Public Works. The total cost of the Phelan Boulevard project is roughly $58 million, and to date, the state has invested $11.1 million in the project.
So that's $1.6 million that you said you were missing
from last
magically?
Year. Yeah, it just all of a sudden disappeared. I've got a suspect in mind, but I'll keep it off the $4 million, Mr. Chair, rather than 1.6.
Four?
This bill is 4-4. There was 1.6 missing mysteriously last year at the last hour of session. This bill actually does finish it off. The $4 million does everything that we need from the state, and then it's all federal, and the city is at this point committed to the other dollars that we need.
Okay. You want to proceed, Kurt?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much. I'll just go through this very quickly. I'm reminded of a Sven and Ole joke, so I have to say it. Sven and Ole went hunting, and this is the second time they went up to Alaska. They got a bush plane. They got a second bush pilot. They flew in, and the pilot said, okay, when I come back a week from now, you get to have one moose, not two, one moose, because that's all the plane can handle. Sure enough, came back a week later, there's two moose on the dock, and he says, I don't think we can take off with this kind of weight. And they said, well, the guy last year took off with two moose. You want to lose the business? And he said, oh, okay. So they put everything on the plane, and they started revving it up, and they tried to get off, and they tried to get off, and they're going down the lake, and sure enough, they pull off, but they start hitting branches, and the wings start getting beat up, and the plane crashes, and the guys are spread all over the ground. And Sven says to Ole, Ole, how we doing? Ole says, well, we're doing pretty good. We got 150 yards further than last year. And that's how we feel on the Phelan Corridor. Each year we're back, and each year we inch just a little bit more down that roadway. If you can see our setup here, here's 35E. Here's Lake Phelan up here, and Johnson Parkway is here. What we did this spring, which was very exciting, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, is we were able to open this section of the road from 35E to Payne Avenue. We gave away a Ford Taurus to a lucky East Sider. We had 1,000 people there. We got 6 million points of media contact from the event, and it was just a whole lot of fun, and so we got started. As Tim mentioned, we had 1,000 jobs on this part of the corridor, so it was very neat, so we could kind of prove that what we're doing. Paul, could you give a click? And then we'll just run through. Here's the old Sweet Hollow, the old Hams Mansion, the old Hams Brewery. Here's some Swedes, and this was kind of what, the manufacturing base of the beginning of the East Side. And here's 3M in the 1950s. So we go from the 1850s to the 1950s, and as people see, you see that big smell right there. As East Siders used to say, that smells like money. So there were a lot of jobs in the neighborhood, and they were very accepting of manufacturing jobs. Next click. However, The plants closed. Here's the Stroh Brewery closed up and shuttered, and we wound up with a lot of brownfields, heavily polluted lands, and we wound up with a lot of distressed housing. Here's the mode of transportation choice on the east side, the Target carts. So it's a very impacted neighborhood. You see the
Target carts?
Many, many mailboxes on the houses, the boarded up houses. We still have a tremendous amount of problem. Boarded up commercial. Go ahead. And so many Hmong, African-American, and now Latino have come to the east side. There are more Latino on the east side of St. Paul than on the west side of St. Paul, which has been a switch. 60% of the growth of the city of St. Paul has been the Latino population. So here's a big shift for us, and also here's a great opportunity. Here we are at 35E. This is 1991. You've got rail corridor, but no road to get in there. You've got street sweepings for about 40 years that were dumped on something called Rivoli Bluff. You've got auto junkyards right here, and then you've got this old rail corridor with Stroh, 3M, and this dump that used to be called Poor Richards, and here's the big pile called Williams Hill, and downtown's right here. So you really have a barrier to development, and that's why we chose to build the road. Next slide, please. Here's Williams Hill as a close-up, a former dump, asphalt plant, about a 10-foot stack with an incredible amount of pollution coming out, and the MPCA right here, which we always thought was a great irony. Here's the Williams Hill today, 650 jobs when it opened. The economy kind of gave a bump to it. Now we're sitting at almost 500 jobs again, and so no more of the polluted lands. Next slide, please. And here you see this dump. So Williams Hill got built. Here's 35W back here. We're in a reverse angle. And here you see this dump, which was called Poor Richards, an old roundhouse for the railroad, auto junkyards. Next slide, please.
Kurt, can the cleanup fund for Petro Fund, can they help clean creosote up?
We were able to use the Petro Fund, but only in a limited amount. Most of the dollars we were able to use was the split between the state and the Met Council, and they were the standard cleanup pollution funds. Okay. We were able to use the Petro Funds to some extent. Paul, next slide. Here's the new Westminster Junction. So here's the road that's just been finished. This is the new spot where the dump used to be. We're hoping for between 500 and 600 jobs on this site. Then we have a huge housing site over here, as many as 420 units of housing. So here you see the grade work. This is the work that you guys invested in. This is the new road. It used to be that dump. Next slide, please. Here's that road that was opened where we were able to give away the car. You can see the cathedral. You can see where the Capitol is. And you can see all the nasties that we had to clean up with your money. Next slide, please.
Kurt, if I could just add in there, he kind of went quickly over the housing component. There is, I believe it's $54 million in housing and business redevelopment that is being brought forth because of the state's investment in Phelan Corridor and the road that is separate from any state money at this particular time. So this has actually had the intended use has been the redevelopment, and we have started to bring in new housing and some new businesses outside of the Phelan Corridor on Payne Avenue. It's a real resurgence of the Payne Avenue area, which is the heart of the east side.
We also opened, I quickly went over, we opened a job bank where we've been able to get a lot of folks in sort of training positions, and the average wage has been, I think it's $16 an hour for some of these folks, and the retention has just been incredible. Tim talked about the housing. There's three housing types that we're looking at, townhomes, single-family houses, and then these fabulous little cottages, which I think you all should move into as we get ready. This one in the bottom right-hand side.
Excuse me, I don't want this many politicians in my district.
But in the bottom right-hand side, you see it looks like a two-story house. It's actually only 1,100 square feet. It's a very small house for empty nesters. The houses are close to each other, and these are cottages that we're very excited we should start construction for next year. We were able to reopen a school that had been closed, the YMCA next to it. This is all along the corridor. Next slide, please. And we're going to be working on a recreational area right below that school. Here's the school and YMCA. This is the old Stroh Brewery, or part of it. And we'll be working on a soccer field, tennis courts, and other recreational uses for the neighborhood. Keep going if you could. And we're going to put a skate park under there. Here's another example of a brownfield. But let's keep going, and then we can... This is kind of fun. This is what we're trying to get to. So you see, this is the old Phelan Shopping Center. It's a sister shopping center to Apache Plaza. A tremendous amount of asphalt, a strip mall, usually an anchor on one side, usually an anchor on the other. This was a Red Owl and JCPenney at one point, and then sort of a sea of parking. It's no longer very usable. And so the parking, you can see this huge bit of parking started sinking. And the reason it sank was it was built on a wetland. Not such a good idea. There was 18 inches of asphalt in that parking lot because it kept sinking, so they kept having to re-pour and re-pour and re-pour. And then the stores began to sink into the ground. And so none of the basements were usable. And eventually it became really a sort of an orphan shopping mall with just a couple of businesses. Next slide, please. So the first time in the country, probably the first time in the world, a shopping center was reclaimed as a wetland
This is the parking lot that you were looking at. Here's the neighborhood kids planting the wetland plants, and we brought back the wetland. Next slide. You can kind of see now that the wetland is taking hold again. There's a big housing project behind it that it has helped spur. The plants are coming back. Next slide, please. And that sparked investment around this wetland that's really been amazing. This is Lake Phelan Townhomes, 29 townhomes, six of which are Habitat for Humanity homes, and absolutely beautiful, all sold out. The Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, you ask about state investment, that's a $64 million state investment. That was the cornerstone that started attracting other stuff to this area. We're lucky to have it. Wells Fargo put in a $4 million branch bank. Their big problem, too many customers. They haven't got enough parking. They're jammed up every day. This has been a great success for them. Senior housing is a need in the neighborhood. Everybody moves out of the neighborhood once they become 50, 55. They no longer want to do the maintenance. This is real life, very successful and filled up. Next slide, please. And then you can just click that and it'll come in. And it's just been a great partnership. So we appreciate this committee and the work that the legislature's done. And we've got a lot of nonprofits and for-profits and people working on this neighborhood. 3M is with us aggressively, as is Wells Fargo and many other partners. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Any questions?
Representative Clark.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering if you would give us a little bit of information about the jobs that are, I think it's 1,000 jobs that are created.
Yeah, the jobs that are there right now are manufacturing jobs in Williams Hill. The jobs that we may be a little concerned about right now are the jobs at the East Metro Transit Facility because they might go on strike. There's also a number of jobs that are coming into the wetland area. But what and we're again hopeful for Westminster Junction, which is the new industrial park. The problem is we now have the bookends finished, but we can't get to the brownfields in the middle without the road. We have a site that could be between 35 and 40 acres. We call 7th and Phelan, or Atlantic and Phelan, where it's just a nasty old foundry. There's chunks of slag in the ground. It's going to be a heavy cleanup. There's globe roofing. You saw that. It's a tremendous amount of junk there, and we can't get to it. We don't have access to it. So once we get to that, that will be the next job park, so to speak.
But your question, Representative Clark, was probably about the jobs that are being created or have been created there. We had the economy did throw us a curve when it went south a couple, 3 years ago, and we lost one of the businesses down there that was a sheet metal business. We have replaced that with a training center for the Upper Midwest Carpenters Regional Center. We have, as Kurt has alluded to me a couple of times, the next phase is not entirely sold out, but it is there. We have people eagerly lined up to move into that particular part of it, which is the next section prior to Payne Avenue, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we are in discussions with the neighborhood trying to, for the next 75 acres lot. Was it 75 acres?
30. No, just 35. Yeah.
35 acres at Atlantic and 7th. And we are having discussions with the neighbors. We've learned over the last 8 years that if we don't get the neighbors involved and involved early, we have made a commitment to not look for businesses that are paying under $13 an hour. And I will commend everyone involved with this. They have done an excellent job, and they have stuck to that particular commitment.
Representative Linder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned that the total project so far has been $58 million. As people buy the townhomes and the cottages and so forth, does that sort of pay that down or pay somebody back? Is there a chance of that money being recycled to continue the work that you still need to get done?
One example is we have a HUD 108 loan, $8 million loan and a $2 million. Is it a Betty or an Eddie? I always forget. I think it's a Betty, which is a brownfield cleanup grant. We've been able to use that money for industrial redevelopment and housing redevelopment. It's shared between the Port Authority and the City of St. Paul. And that is a revolving loan, and we can use it for construction financing. So as each
piece of the housing gets constructed, the payback then can turn that loan, just keep revolving that loan, those loan dollars, and turn it over to the next piece of housing that's going to be constructed. We've still got, we hope to be out of business in at the end of 2006. However, probably by, still by about 2008, we'll be building housing. So we'll be flipping this loan constantly until we finish a big chunk of the housing in the center section. And I don't want to scare anybody, but the whole project is currently, we've invested just under $400 million in the project. The payback, will, we hope, will be two-thirds private when we're done, two-thirds private and one-third public, at least, probably higher private. But right now, it's definitely, you know, we primed the pump. So it's about two-thirds public and one-third private so far, even with the new businesses, et cetera.
And one more.
Representative Linder.
The new road that you're going to build, would that actually tie right into 35B?
Yes, and Paul can explain that. We're hoping for a new interchange at Cayuga. We would close the existing Pennsylvania interchange, and then our trucks would get access to East 94. Right now, they're blocked from one of the major interchanges. We've got an interchange in Pennsylvania which is working, but we hope to make it too crowded as soon as we possibly can.
That seems to happen up here a lot.
That's our job.
Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm curious. I mean, I like the project. That looks exciting, and I see you've had success already with some job growth in the Williams Hill area. But where do you envision these future jobs to come from? I mean, how are you going to create them? Are they new jobs? Coming, you're going to bring in a company from out of state or steal them from Minneapolis? Or what's
going to happen? Most of our jobs are from Minneapolis. No, I'm just kidding. No. No, we don't.
Mr. Chair?
We don't do that. I'm just
Mr. Chair? Representative. We'll probably get him votes on this committee.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Representative Clark, my apologies. It was just a jest. The two cities get along so well. We're just like marriage.
Yeah, and you've had some trouble here before, huh?
Yeah. No, actually, most of the jobs are St. Paul jobs. They're St. Paul companies which are growing, and they've outgrown their current spaces. You'll get the manufacturers who maybe first started in the garage, but then they get a small place. They got about 25 employees. When they move to a Williams Hill or a Westminster Junction, it's usually when they go to 50 or 150 employees. Mm-hmm. They're tempted to go out of state. Most of them are being courted, of course, by Iowa and Wisconsin, and so we're able to secure them here because we sell the land for a buck. They have to have one employee per every square 1,000 foot, so they're not land banking. They have to have so much site coverage, so they're not land banking. They have to do $9 an hour minimum, but we're looking for the 13-hour jobs. One of the neat things that's a shift of the Port Authority's focus is you might have seen that we've been able to secure Alina as the first company moving on to Westminster Junction. We're now seeing more processing jobs, more service jobs, which actually are more attainable by the people in our neighborhoods than some of the heavy manufacturing jobs. So we're experiencing that shift in the economy, but that doesn't mean there's fewer jobs. That means actually there's more jobs per square foot in a processing area than there would be in a manufacturing area.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Clark.
I missed the part about the Alina jobs. What are those jobs?
The jobs are actually going to be moved from Regents Hospital over to a site there, but that means Regents Hospital will be able to get more folks. And again, it's these great medical jobs, and it's an outpatient clinic.
Mr. Chair, so there will be a clinic established on there?
Yes.
Thank you.
Representative Clark, and I think we'd probably kind of kill for some of the things, problems you're having. All right? You look at the things that they have in Phelan Corridor, you know, and the problem of having one person per 1,000 square feet and all these things, and having the projected job growth that you're having, that doesn't happen where I live, and I don't think it happens where Representative Clark lives.
We're working on it, Mr. Chair.
And so am I. I'm watching how you guys do it.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Chair, just so you know that after all this work that I had done on this particular project for so many years and redistricting, they took all the stuff that was finished and gave it to somebody else and said, you did such a good job on all the other undeveloped parts. Here's some more.
So. Yeah, I keep on telling myself I'm a state of Minnesota legislator, too.
I'm just an East Side kid.
I should say we're very fortunate to have Representative Mahoney as one of our leaders.
I totally agree.
Again, I'd like to move this possible inclusion in the omnibus bonding bill?
As amended. And we will lay this House file over for possible inclusion
in our jobs finance bonding proposals. So thank you very much for your testimony. Good to see you again, Kurt. And if you get this, Kurt, if you get this done, I do hope you come back once in a while.
He likes this place.
Yeah. Representative McNamara, welcome to our committee. Greg, you want to pass? Move his bill? House file.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that House File 1676 be recommended to pass and laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Very well. Welcome to our committee, Representative McNamara.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. We're just really glad that you gave us the opportunity to be here. We're presenting a project that's really an exciting project and one that I'm real proud of and glad to be a part of. This is the Hastings River Flats. It's a regional interpretive center. It's a project that, as my two guests, Council Member Dana Schultz and Bruce Chamberlain from Hoisington Kogler, will explain to you better than I can myself how this is really significant. One, it's partnership, and I just feel really, I really want to mention to you that I need to put my glasses on first, Mr. Chair, before I'm going to be able to read this real small print. Comes with being 51 years old. You can relate?
I was in fourth grade when you were born.
Okay. Mr. Chair and members, this project is a $1 million capital bonding project and is really a partnership with a number of different grants. It's got a SEP grant for $250,000, McKnight Foundation, $250,000. You guys have these handouts. The City of Hastings' total contribution is almost $2 million. Army Corps of Engineers, $365,000, and an LCMR grant, National Park Service. It's really been a partnership effort, and I just would like to, at this point, why don't I turn it over to Council Member Schultz.
Thank
Welcome
you.
Welcome to our committee. Will you give your name for the record?
My name is Dana Elling Schultz. I'm 4th Ward Council Member, Hastings, Minnesota.
Welcome. You know, 20 years from now, if you want to hear what you had to say, you can go to the Historical Society or History Center. They have the tape for you. So
okay,
that's why we have
I'll,
to
I'll
your name.
Tell my kids that. Maybe they'll
there you go.
They'll want to do that so they can surprise me on a birthday or something. the Hastings City Council decided to present this proposal to Representative McNamara because we felt that we had a good idea with regional significance that we could build on one of our greatest natural resources, which is the Mississippi River. Mr. Chamberlain has helped us put the proposal together. We believe this has environmental significance, economic significance, and educational significance, and will be part of a greater Mississippi River enhancement that flows from St. Cloud down through the Twin Cities, Hastings, Wabasha, and the Eagle Center, and on down to our borders. We're hoping that you'll look on this proposal kindly and include it in further legislation. Hastings has done a good job with this. We've partnered with a number of groups. We've put in some of our own money, and we think this can be a big boon not only to our school children, but economic development to our city in general, as part of a bigger downtown revitalization and redevelopment that we're currently working on. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Bruce Chamberlain. I'm an urban designer and landscape architect, and I've had the opportunity to work with the City of Hastings for a number of years on their endeavors, and this is one that is a relatively small project, probably in the scheme of things and in the scheme of projects that you see before you. But this is a project that has really significant opportunities for the City of Hastings. The city has been pursuing economic development and downtown redevelopment for several years and has put together what I think is a very smart strategy in trying to attract the economic development to that community. And this is an integral part of that. The city is working to diversify the reasons people come to the community, and this plays a key role in that. The project from a design standpoint has been highly recognized since it was first contemplated a couple of years ago. 2001 Minnesota Public Works Association Project of the Year, 2002 Civil Engineers Association Minnesota Project of the Year, 2002 American Society of Landscape Architects Design Award. And there was recently a project that was completed for the Mississippi River region from St. Paul to the area south of Hastings that designated this project one of the top 8 river-related projects in the region. And the city is very proud of that. The site is a former industrial site. It was a tank farm owned by Koch Petroleum. They closed the site, donated the land to the city, and the city completed the master planning for it. The project includes a diversity of uses. Most of the site will be restored to native habitat. And the interpretive center, which is what we're asking for the bonding dollars for, is a way to interpret the ecology as well as the history and archaeology of the river. Our intent is to create real-time web links with between this community and river communities across the world, allow people an opportunity to see how the Mississippi River, which is obviously an internationally significant river, plays into and compares with other riverfronts across the globe. The Interpretive Center has been a very close partnership, as was mentioned, with a number of nonprofit groups as well as Flint Hills Resources, formerly Koch Petroleum. And the intent of the design of the interpretive facility is to use items that were previously in industrial use on the site. We've gone to Flint Hills Resources, pulled aside some things in what they call their boneyard that we're saving for construction materials for the interpretive facility. So it'll be a very conservation-oriented project. It'll reuse old industrial materials. And both site development and architecture of the project will be as green as absolutely possible. Any questions?
Representative Linder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's like a real interesting place to have something like this. My question is, are there other interpretive centers within a reasonable driving time around here? Would this be something unique to this particular area or surrounding communities? Or
it is. If you're familiar with what's called the Minra Comprehensive Plan, Mississippi River, Mississippi National River and Recreation Area, there's a comprehensive plan done for the Twit City area along the Mississippi River. There were four interpretive sites identified in that plan. They stretch from the Coon Rapids Dam down to Hastings, and this is one of the four sites. So from a regional standpoint, there are four within the Twin Cities. The closest one is at the History Center, the Science Museum in St. Paul. There's one there today.
Well, thank you. Any other questions?
Dana,
Ms. Schultz, I'll be with you in a minute, Mahoney. You know, we have the Grand Excursion coming up. What part in that is Hastings going to play?
I would actually like to turn that over to our Park and Rec Director, Marty McNamara. He's been closely involved in what's happening with the Excursion 2000. Mm-hmm. And I think he can give you all the details, but the city will be involved in that.
Welcome to our committee. Give your name for the record, please.
Marty McNamara, Park and Rec Director. With
any relative?
Very much so. Very proud of it. There's a lot of McNamara's in Hastings, and we're all proud of it. Hastings is very active in the Grand Excursion, and there's a lot of events planned. We're going to be hosting, I believe it's the Harriet Bishop, is the boat that will be stopping in Hastings. We have a committee about 35 active in the planning process, and we started this about 2 years ago. We're hoping that this interpretive center would be completed by the time the Grand Excursion was going to arrive, but we got a little delayed. But all the improvements are geared toward trying to create people down there, and that's the plan for the Grand Excursion, too. We're very active in it.
It's going to be an exciting event. I'm sure this committee will be involved in it. We have been so far. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you said your Flint Hills, you went to their boneyard to pick up parts. You know, I've done that myself a couple of times. I'm just wondering, are you looking to build this interpretive center in Banshill out of stainless? really, one of my questions is, and I apologize if you brought it up earlier, the Banshill, it's really, I've been in a couple of places where they have Banshills on the river, and actually St. Paul has pulled one together in the last couple of years. How big is that Banshill going to be? How many people can...
It's very small. It's a very intimate space. The seating for the Banshill will be about 600 people. So in relative terms, it's a small facility. We really see the Banshill as more of a performance space than a music entertainment space. The way the building is designed, the main level of the building has garage doors around all sides that literally roll up to create kind of a backstage area for the performance space of the Banshill. So the Interpretive Center building is integral to the way the Banshill functions as a performance space.
Representative Mahoney. And that's interesting. I look forward to actually seeing that. This is not far from the big marina down there, correct?
Correct, King's Cove.
And as such, the boats will be able to kind of be offshore and... Mm-hmm. Get into this interpretive center in this pretty much park? Or will they have to go over to the marina and then walk over?
There is no boat docking within along the shoreline of this facility. The city is currently exploring the possibility of marina facilities within its downtown, but not necessarily directly adjacent to this facility.
And Mr. Chairman, there is a Representative Mahoney, there's a public access down to the west of where the site is, where you can put your boat in and out. But there's no marina or docking at that stage along the riverfront for Hastings. That's something that we're currently working on, and if anybody has any ideas on how to help us with MnDOT, DNR, on getting that accomplished, that would be helpful. But there's King's Cove is across the river on the other side, and that's where I'm sure you've driven down there and seen it. But at this point, there's public access for in and out of the river down from here, but we don't have docking along that portion of the Mississippi.
Actually, I have driven down there. I spent a lot of time down in Hastings, and I have enough trouble with this committee. Don't ask me about DNR. I have one last comment to make, and for those of you that are interested in the Grand Excursion, if you go to the website, you'll find that almost all the tours are sold out at the present time. You might be able to get the dinner and lunch cruises, but that's the hard part, but it would be a wonderful committee trip if the chair is interested and might be able to find extra tickets on one of those tours. So just a suggestion.
We will have a discussion about that. Any other questions? Representative Linder, you have a question?
I wondered if Representative McNamara could point on that chart up there, or that picture, where this will be built. I'm having a hard time deciding whereabouts it will be built. Okay, so it's sort of right on that fence line.
Right here.
Right here. Where Representative Mahoney was referring to, we can't quite see it. We can see a little bit of King's Cove is in a backwater of the Mississippi.
That's okay. That's fine.
This is Highway 61 bridge coming into Hastings. You're going south on 61. This is where King's Cove is, a large marina with a lot of large boats and pleasure boats that visit the Mississippi and the St. Croix, access to King's Cove. You would come south into Hastings across our bridge, and then you turn and come back along the river here where our lock and dam is, and you can actually see the lock and dam right here. And this is the area that Mr. Chamberlain referred to as the Coke Refinery Tank Farm. Years ago, they had tanks on here that the barges would bring up, and they turned this land, are turning a lot of it over to the city, and some of it they still hold as we work on some remediation and some groundwater contamination that we're working on there. This is a really exciting project, and Representative Mahoney, you brought up a good point about the boats. There is a beach area, as a council member Schultz mentioned, there's a beach area there where the boats can come up and beach.
It's a problem with the Coast Guard and the DNR because the barge traffic actually uses that shoreline is where the channel is in that part of the river. So it's a really cool project. Mr. Chair, I know you'll give it, this committee will give it strong consideration, and we'd like to have it considered for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Very well. Any other questions? Representative Clark.
Thank you. Representative McNamara, is there public access for people who don't have boats? I mean, is there a beach there that is a swimming beach or a beach open to the public? Or?
There's a beach, Representative Clark, right there. It's really not used a lot for swimming, though I will admit I have swam there. But there's a public access right just to the upriver, and actually in that case it's actually to the west. The public access is very close. The parking lot that you see on the map there is the public access. It's a very, very popular free public access DNR and city run that jointly.
If I could add to that, there's the DNR boat access, but there's also a regional trail that's running from St. Paul to Hastings that goes right literally underneath the Interpretive Center facility. It runs along the riverfront, and that was funded partially through LCMR funds, constructed 2 years ago. And there's also, you know, obviously tremendous trail access from the Interpretive Center site right here, two blocks over to the core of historic downtown Hastings. So the connection to downtown is very important to this project.
Any other questions? I think Representative David moved this for possible inclusion in our omnibus bonding proposal, Finance Committee bonding proposal, and we'll do that. Thank you for your very nice presentation.
Thank you. Looks like a very nice project.
And I think anybody else have anything to add for this? Otherwise, we'll adjourn this committee.